Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the MCUC call to work on an update of bylaws taking place on Monday, the 31st of August, 2015. On the call today, we have Aaron Sukumar, Bill Drake, Amr Elstar, Brendan Kerbis, Barnahays Body, and Tapani Taravani. Apologies for any mispronunciation. I would also like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and I'll turn it back over to you, Aaron.
Aaron, are you on the phone bridge or are you on Adobe? Because it seems we're not hearing you.
And currently, he is only on Adobe, but I do see his mic is activated and unmuted. So, Aaron, if you could just check your settings on your side.
Aaron, did you do that where the little phone is? You have to make a selection about whether to connect your audio via the computer or the phone. We cannot hear you as of now. I always use the phone bridge.
Or you can also send me a private chat via Adobe Connect and provide me your telephone number, and we can have the operator dial out to you as well.
Aaron, that might make sense to do since Aaron's in India. And so while he is doing that, why don't I fill in the blanks again? Just to repeat for the record what I was informally saying before while Aaron gets set up, the revision of the NCUC bylaws is something that has been dangling in the wind for a long time. Various people have felt that some people have felt from time to time that it was a pressing thing that we needed to have the bylaws, A, conformed to more closely to the NCSG charter, and B, more closely to our current actual practices than the current language provides. However, efforts to get a coalition of people of the willing together to actually make real movement forward on this has proven difficult over the past 2.5 years. While I've been chair of NCUC, I did twice try to get bylaws revision teams started with different people serving as the coordinator. And in the first instance, it turned out that because the time frame wasn't going to allow us to get it done in time for the election, to put a text before the members for an election, the effort kind of like backed off and then it faded. And then we had a new executive committee and another person say he would take over and lead this, and nothing happened. And then I made a bunch of efforts to convince various veterans that we should do this and they should help. And everybody said this is not a priority to me. And so the thing kind of drifted for a while. And then we had the GNSO review process start, which threw open the question of exactly what organizational form NCUC might take. And that raised a bunch of questions. And some people were saying to me that we might need to completely change everything in light of that, so we weren't sure what to do, depending on the various membership configurations that were being discussed at the time. I'm sorry, I'm mixing up the GNSO review and the accountability process. These two different things. GNSO review was going on, and the accountability process was going on, and people were uncertain about the answer. So my thought was to let this one slide until we had greater clarity after Dublin as to what ICANN was going to be doing in terms of overall changes in the bylaws, et cetera, et cetera. But in the meanwhile, several more people popped up to say, well, we really should do this. So I said, okay, let's try again. So now we have our third bylaws team, and hopefully this one's going to be the winner, and Aaron is going to be coordinating. And Aaron, is he now on the audio?
I do. Can you guys hear me?
There you are. We hear you perfectly. And so with all that said, I stop and I turn it over to you.
Okay, thanks, Will. And hi, guys. Welcome to the third round of the NCUC bylaw revision process. Hopefully this will be something that we can complete and see some of which, you know, have acceptance within the community change into real bylaws. In terms of the process itself, because I guess that is something that is on the top of my mind in terms of how we're going to do this. So I have just to recap some of the discussions, if you haven't been following the chatter on the bylaws mailing list. Some of the we've been discussing till now what how we can go about this in terms of comparing. So one aspect is comparing the NCUC bylaws and trying to make changes that bring it in line with the NCSC SATA. And the second set of larger changes, some of which have already been outlined by Bill in his email to the NCUC bylaws list, which I went through and I thought those are pretty comprehensive, you know, and there were some pretty heavyweight suggestions in there which we would probably have to work out and then get back to NCUC discuss. But that said, I suppose, you know, looking, comparing both documents and seeing what changes ought to be made in the NCUC document vis-a-vis the NCSC charter, I suppose we can come up with those bare-bones changes that need to be made. For example, Bill had highlighted in his email that there is a discrepancy between both charters. By the way, I don't know why they're called charters, but there's a discrepancy between both charters with regard to the voting power or the voting weight that is assigned to small organizations and large organizations. So things like that would, I guess, be fairly obvious to us as we go through the documents one by one and compare them. But we need to have a larger conversation that is around a fixed timeline on what are some of the largest, some of the bigger, more holistic changes that we would like to see in the NCUC bylaws, which we then take to the constituency. Bill, I just want to ask you this with regard to, because you know you've been involved in these in the previous exercises. So you were saying that these have to be, if we submit one set or one round of changes by the first quarter of 2016, then I suppose we have a window of opportunity to get it clear if there's consensus. Is that what you were saying? I kind of missed you there.
Thank you, Aaron. I was saying that we will, once we work out a text amongst ourselves, we have to take it to the staff. The staff will go through it. The staff will then give us any feedback they might have, like, hey, have you guys looked at this or that? Or you might consider adding this, et cetera. We can make some quick tweaks depending on what we get from staff. But then it has to go ultimately to the board. And the board of directors would then, through the operative committee, whatever it's going to be called now, then formally give us feedback, which we would then go. So they might say, you need to change this in this way, that in that way. And then we would go back and we would resubmit a final to them. We would get their approval. All of that can take really a half a year or so. That's why I'm saying, you know, we want to try to get it done in the first quarter for sure if we want to have it go onto the ballot for the members to vote on in the following November, December. And so the question is, walking back from that kind of a time frame, what's the most logical way to tackle this at the same time that everybody's working on all the other things, the larger ICANN issues, and also the fact that NCUC and NCSG will both be going through transitions in leadership and so on with elections, etc. So there will be a lot of slippage and things won't all get done immediately, so it is good that we're starting now, but I think we don't, I guess the point I would emphasize is your initial suggestion was like, let's march through this thing and then we'll spend a week on section one and a week on section two and da da da. And, but what people began to do then was start to make little teeny tweaks like changing da 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 in the existing text without knowing what were the priorities, where are we really trying to go. So that's why I sent this message outlining some of the bigger issues that that have to be addressed, in my view, or that others have raised over the course of the past couple of years, so that we could have an organized discussion around those, especially the ones that might be elicit different viewpoints, and we could even use part of Constituency Day for that. So I guess what I was suggesting then was to have this kind of like priorities discussion first, and then get down to the real marching through and doing the edits after Dublin. That's how I would have thought about it, but maybe you have a different time frame in mind. Thanks.
Right. Thanks, Bill. So that's one thing that I was hoping to bring up in the discussion, too, in terms of highlighting priorities. For instance, your email, Bill, on some of the things that you had flagged with regard to the NCUC bylaws, both in comparison with the NCUC charter and the larger, like, for instance, the changes to the policy committee, changes to the executive committee, or at least the proposals that you had mentioned in the email. So these are new to me, and I suspect there would be, I mean, you know, unless most of the NCUC mailing listers are rare observers to this exercise the last time around, too. So I'm just wondering how we can figure out, before Constituency Day, how we can flag some of the priority areas. Because wearing my lawyer's hat, I went through both documents, the NCUC and the NCSC charter. So it seems that, you know, there are certain areas where it's clear there is a difference in both bylaws, and it's fairly clear what needs to be done to bring one in line with the other. But the more important stuff that you've mentioned with regard to the changes in the policy committee, the changes in the, you even mentioned the change, a possible change in the structure of the executive council, bringing in a vice chair and stuff like that. How do we do that? Do we take the discussion to NCUC discuss, or do we do that in the bylaws mailing list itself?
Alan, this is Bill. I would really use the team that was set up for this purpose. It is open to all members. We've told people repeatedly it exists. It's listed on the website. And it's one, I think, to keep the main members list up to speed when anything significant happens is fine, but I don't think we want to do all the back and forth, you know, little debates about text edits and things like that on a list with 420 people, most of whom are not interested in this. So I would really argue for using the bylaws team list and then simply updating the members list as needed.
Bill, this is Brendan for the record. You know, one thing you just mentioned, I took note of, and that's, you know, are there specific things, ideas, that may elicit different viewpoints and that might need to go to the list before we even think about proposed text for the bylaws? Maybe we could come up as a group, a short list of those points, and take that to the NCUC list for debate, get that settled, and then go into the drafting process.
Yes, I would think so, and that's why, I'm sorry, this is Bill. Brendan, I would think so, and that's why I sent this outline of, like, some initial main points, but there are undoubtedly others as well. As I said, we could take, you know, if people want, an hour of Constituency Day to talk about this. So, for example, I think the question of do we want to have a policy committee, and what exactly would it do, and when and how would it operate, is something that I tried to get conversations started before about a number of times, and I never got anywhere. But I think ultimately we have to make the decision. Right now we are in the awkward position that having decided with the creation of the stakeholder group, at the assistance of several members in particular, that everything had to be done at the level of the stakeholder group in the way of policy, we ended up letting the policy committee basically not exist. And that meant that when we have been in a position where we wanted to actually adopt an NCUC statement because NPOC wouldn't agree to something we were promoting in the NCSG policy committee or something like that, we didn't actually have a bylaws conformant means to do that. And so we were doing things like basically saying, hey, y'all, what do you think on the main members list? And if nobody objected and a dozen people said, hey, cool, we would say, okay, fine, that's an NCC position. But that's not really the way you want to be operating. So even if the policy committee is not going to be an ongoing standing activity, I would think that there has to be something that can be snapped into gear when we do need to make a statement or something on our own. And I'm not concerned about someone calling us separatists for wanting to do that at this point, which is what happened last time. But that would have to be. But that's the kind of thing that I think we would want to talk about with the group, both, you know, in a face-to-face meeting and maybe on the list. Sure. I mean, there are other things too. Obviously, once we go through, Terry, could we maybe skip ahead to that document, the other document where I listed some of these points? But so we can get into the specifics of the points I had raised. But the main point, I think, here is to decide, you know, how do we want to scale the process, how do we want to proceed, time frame, procedure, and so on. And there I looked at Aaron to, oh, he wants to organize.
This is Brendan, for the record. Thanks, Bill. That's really helpful.
And Brendan, this is Terry. We did lose your audio. If you want to go ahead and private chat me a telephone number, we can dial out to you as well.
So while people are getting themselves aligned telephonically, why don't we just pause for a second and get reactions from some folks who have not spoken yet. Brendan, you still got your hand up, which I don't think maybe you want. Did you want to say something else or else take it down? And then, Emma, would you like to speak? And Tapani, Farzana, give your reactions.
Thanks, Bill. This is Amr. Can I go?
Rock on.
All right. Thanks. Just some thoughts in terms of how to proceed in terms of process of getting this done. I think I totally agree with the notion that we really don't want 500 people having access to a document, editing it while we're working on this, because it would be far too chaotic. I think we should really try to limit this effort to the team dedicated to working on the bylaws, and I doubt that even that entire team will be very engaged. So we probably will have just a few people doing the actual work, which I think is fine from a coordination perspective. But as has been said before as well, it is important to consult with the NCUC membership on these issues and try to get them done, try and just make sure we scope all the issues as efficiently as possible, so we don't need so we don't provide work that is just really kind of half baked or not taking everything into consideration. I'm trying to compare the work we're doing here with what happens with a GNSO policy development process. And it's really straightforward on the GNSO level. Here it may be a little trickier. But what we could do right now, I'm guessing, because we don't really have a charter for this team, but we do have the existing bylaws that need to be edited. And then what we could do is come up with a list of sort of questions and issues, kind of like what Bill did in his email. And maybe what we could do then is also ask the NCUC membership to also add to sort of comment on this list of questions and say, okay, these are the bylaws, these are the issues we've identified. Could you please provide us with additional issues that need to be considered by the team going forward? And that should give us a good volume of work to get started on, and hopefully at least address these issues before providing the NCUC with a sort of working draft for new bylaws, and it might also be appropriate at some point during the course of the work, either in iterations or at sort of one or two points throughout. I'm guessing the year we'll be doing this. To sort of just have an opportunity for the broader membership to comment on the work that has already been done and maybe help steer the group into another direction as appropriate. But yeah, those are just some thoughts, and I'm just trying to sort of balance having a tight group work on this for the benefit of easier coordination, as well as getting as much comment in from the general membership as possible. Thanks.
Thanks, Amar. Tavani, you had your hand up.
Yeah, this is Tavani. I pretty much agree to what's been said. That looking at Bill's list, it's actually pretty good. Going through those issues, some of them are, shall I say, easy, just fixing obvious inconsistencies and missing things. There are a number of things in the bylaws that leave things open that have to be implied or might be interpreted differently, but those are mostly easy. But there are some real issues like the policy committee that need more work, and identifying those where there is, as I think Brendan suggested, that identifying the difficult ones is one thing. Otherwise, let's just go through the list. Maybe people can add something they notice. And and as Brendan suggested in the text, that let's eat. Divide them amongst ourselves, picking up ownership of an issue, so to speak, and then outlining what to do about it, whether it's simply something easy enough, okay, here I have to suggest this is a solution, we do this, or whether it's something difficult and alternative to present to the membership, maybe.
Right. Thanks. And I agree with that. And I didn't mean to suggest that we should have a workable text by that, but I was just wondering when we should. Given that we, I guess, now have 45 minutes before Dublin. Before Dublin. And, for instance, if the bylaws team were to highlight and flag stuff like you have on the NCUC charter that needs to be... So what I'm looking at now is, do we just put this on the table in Dublin and then discuss it during the ICANN meeting, or do we discuss it amongst ourselves and then, present some sort of consolidated version during constituency day in Dublin. I don't think personally I would be able to pitch in with enormous contributions, but I'm just wondering how we do this during constituency day or ahead of the. Are we going to have a freewheeling discussion on the stuff that we've identified? Okay. I'm okay. How do you hand up? Sorry.
Thanks, Aaron. This is Amar again. Yeah, I don't think we have too much time between now and Dublin. And my personal suggestion would be to sort of focus on identifying the issues, getting those out to the NCUC members list before Dublin, trying to solicit feedback and input, and then having a discussion revolved around this particular point in our work at Constituency Day in Dublin. That's the way I would suggest going. Thanks.
Sounds good. Bill, you had a hand up?
Yeah, so again, what I would suggest to us, we do not have to have text by Dublin. We need to have a conversation in Dublin. And so in order to have a conversation, what we should do, I think, in the period ahead, is to flesh out the list of possible changes in different categories, as I've started. You can take what I did as a baseline and then add to it, and people can revise it, and et cetera. And then we will share that. We can share that with the general list, and we can say, okay, in the meeting, we're going to talk about these, and we're going to particularly focus on items, you know, 2C, 3F, and 4L, which are particularly difficult, and try and get consensus of the room around that in order to kind of see that everybody's basically on the same page. And then after we've had that conversation and you've had feedback from people saying, yes, I think we do need to reboot a policy committee, and I do think it maybe should we should consider it being composed like X, and no, we shouldn't have a vice chair, or yes, we should, or whatever it might be, then we can go back into the bylaws team. And from mid-late October until, you know, the end of January, you've got 2.5 months. We could develop a time frame to spend X amount of weeks per each section making working through the filtering those changes into the relevant sections in order to come up with an integrated text sometime in the first quarter, like that. So, I mean, I don't think it's terrifically complicated. The only thing is to really try to get ideas out on the table as to what the areas that need tweaking and so on are. And Tapani, I know 2 years ago you had a number of emails you sent me at various points where you were suggesting that the existing language simply wasn't clear enough in terms of specifying certain eventualities and so on. So those might be the kinds of things that we can add in as we go as well, you know. So there's the sort of bigger, you know, main items under different categories, conformity with the bylaws, conformity with our actual practices, et cetera. I mean, removing mentions of dues, that's obvious, right, and so on. We can go through those and discuss those with the group and then develop a process for tweaking the language in more detail in the period afterwards. So my suggestion would be, let's start with this list and see what else people want to add to it in the team. And then when the team has a list of identified items that we're thinking we want to tackle, we can share that to broader membership and say, anybody who wants to join the team, that's where we're going to be working on this. And we're going to talk about this at Constituency Day a little bit as well. And voila. And, you know, so, I mean, again, I don't think it's hard, personally. Thank you. I'm done.
Sounds good. No, that sounds good, Bill. I guess we should probably send out another email to NCUC discuss soliciting membership. I think the strength of this team right now is around 10 to 15 people. I think a lot of people who were earlier part of the list have, I don't know, I think some of them are active, but several of them have not been involved in this. I think all were involved in the 2012 exercise. So hopefully be getting at least a couple more people who are hopefully willing to work on this post-Dublin as well, because I guess if we do concentrate on a couple of issues where there appears to be consensus in Dublin, I suppose it would be left to a few people to actually do the drafting or the changing the additions and stuff. But no, otherwise I think it sounds good in terms of at least us starting with, I'm personally just going to add to the issues or just pitch in on the issues that you've identified, because I, you know, unless it's something that really stares at me from the, you know, from the viewpoint of differences between both charters, but otherwise I am, for one, going to look at the issues that you've highlighted and add on to the stuff like Farzi has mentioned in the chat, add on to the bullet points you've mentioned and take it from there. Anybody else want to add on to that? Farzi, on the issue of deadline for identifying the issues, this is something this would be quite helpful, actually. So are we looking at sometime before Dublin where we have a consolidated list of the issues that we want to present to the constituency on Constituency Day? Having a deadline would be useful, I think. Any thoughts on that? Okay, sometime around between the end of September, that sounds good.
Arun, I have my hand.
Oh, sorry, Bill, I didn't see that. I was busy watching that. Please, go ahead.
Okay. So look, why don't we start, and let's not make this call too much more painful or too much longer. We've got 20 minutes left. Just as a start, why don't we just go through my initial list and get an immediate reaction about the categorization that I proposed, whether that needs to be tweaked, and so on. Are there any other main items people would put into those categories if the category is okay? And then, you know, get an initial take from folks on the priorities. Okay? Can we do that?
That sounds good.
Okay, so let's I organize it simply into four categories: overarching issues, which are, you know, sort of like big picture changes in the text and its relationship to everything else. Secondly, conformity issues with the NCSG charter. These are more technical, you know, small technical tweaks where language didn't get changed. And quite frankly, I can't remember what happened in 2009. I had just joined NCUC, and it was Robin and Milton, and I can't remember who else, Aubrey, I think, and others who worked on this text, and I can't remember why they did some of the things they did, because we didn't take dues back then. So I don't know why we approved a charter in 2009 that says we have dues. There were a number of puzzling things like that that I can't remember anymore, unfortunately. But anyway, the tweaks that would need to be made to conform with the NCSG charter, I think, are not really all that complicated. Then there are, thirdly, changes where we have discrepancies with our current practices and with our likely practices in the future. And then finally, sort of would-be-nice-to-have type changes. That's to say, things that, you know, are not absolutely imperative in terms of, they're not necessarily glaringly, it's not a matter of lack of conformity with either what we're doing or the NCSG charter. It's rather, these are optional issues where we want to consider doing more. And I think in particular, for example, so just to give examples of those, I personally think that NCUC could use a vice chair because I think, quite frankly, my experience after 2.5 years is that we have a structure in which basically the chair ends up doing almost everything, and having a vice chair and sharing the load would be good, and also that shares the authority, quote-unquote, to the extent that you can call being essentially a glorified administrative assistant to authority. So, I mean, I think that could be useful. And similarly, there are changes that I think would be advisable. I'm really putting authority in quotes, Aaron. There are changes where I think we should increase the requirements and the expectations for people to be on the executive committee, because, quite frankly, it doesn't make sense to be using our scarce resources to fly people to meetings who do not really participate in any of the administrative work of the constituency. I don't mean to... None of the EC members are on this call, which is perhaps indicative of what I'm talking about. I don't mean to be offensive to any of my beloved colleagues, but it is an issue that we continually elect people as regional representatives who don't represent the regions and don't participate in the work. So I would like, and I think part of the problem is, to be quite honest, that administrative work is not quite as exciting as doing policy work. I spent the last couple of years, reading what everybody else was doing on policy stuff and saying, gee, I wish I had the bandwidth to do that, but I'm busy dealing with people's hotel reservations and writing to the staff about, how to get people to the IGF meeting on our budgetary allocations and all this ridiculous kind of stuff, which doesn't excite anybody a lot of times, but it has to be done. And that's part of why I had the whole idea of, doing teams and trying to get people involved who aren't on the EC as well. But so those are things where some people may agree with me, some people may not agree with me. So those would be nice to have. We could debate those. But the other ones, the conformity issues, those are straightforward, I think. So I don't mean to bogart the joint here on this conversation, but just to go through it real quickly. So overarching issues, clarifying the relationship between constituency and stakeholder groups so that we don't end up with this ridiculous situation all the time where people who are all NCUC members are doing all the NCSG work and don't know which hats they're wearing and where we should do in-reach or outreach or build a website or do this or that. I mean, all that kind of stuff. There's the larger structural issues there that I think we have to be clear in our own mind about how we're doing this. Establishing it as a legal entity, these are the kinds of things most of you have been spared of, but it came out in my last fundraising effort with the Public Interest Registry that now they can't give us money unless we have a taxpayer ID number. To have a taxpayer ID number, we have to basically, there was some kind of, they let us off this year, although Milton hasn't told me whether they've given the money. I have asked several times. I think that they have, but going forward, they want us to be legally incorporated with a taxpayer ID, and Robin knows how to do that. So that's a thing, and that would be also, that ties into the question of what gets done in the accountability system and with the single member model and so on. Ed raised concerns to me that the single member model might actually impact our ability to have our own resources and that somehow the claims could be laid to our money, which would be surprising to me. But anyway, if we establish ourselves as a legally separate entity, I think we are free of that kind of stuff. Clarifying performance standards of representatives, eliminating references to dues, deciding about good standing criteria. This has been one of the issues. Tapani has dealt extensively with the database and with the conduct of the last couple of elections. We would have been screwed without him. And the NCSG process always has had a check-in process where you have to actually respond to emails in a certain time in order to be deemed a valid member And so lots of people get sort of weaned out of the list. And what we've done in NCUC has been a little bit more informal. We have pinged people and asked them to sort of check in, but we've sent the ballot to everybody we had a valid address on. And so you get a lower percentage of vote, but, you know, it's potentially more inclusive. Anyway, the point is, the question of defining what is good standing is an issue, both with regard to the conduct of the election and some of the other things that come up later in the text about who gets to vote, who has rights to vote, who, under what circumstances could somebody be removed from whatever, all those kinds of things. So those are like big issues. Let me stop there. Are there any other big issues that other people, just off the top of your head, would identify? Overarching questions that we might address.
Brenda, got your hand up?
You want to go? Yeah, Bill, can everyone hear me?
I can, Brendan. I think the others can, too.
Okay, good. So at the last ICANN meeting, I was kind of sequestered away from most of it, but I heard there was talk about kind of reinventing civil society at ICANN. And so I'm wondering, in terms of overarching issues, we're presuming that the existing constituency and stakeholder group structure will remain in place for the foreseeable future, and that kind of gives us a baseline upon which we can write our bylaws revisions, correct?
Bill, do you want to take that?
Yes. This is a conversation I tried to start multiple times and never got anywhere. I even put it on some constituency agendas, and I sort of tried to start it, and then people would just kind of stare at me, so I just never went anywhere. And it also gets awkward to talk about because it ties in with all the issues with MPOC and all the other stuff. There, one of the reasons why, and we're being recorded, so now this will all be in the transcript, so okay, whatever. One of the reasons why some people, when I approach them about, hey, there are members who think we should revise the bylaws, one of the reasons why some of them said, I don't think we should do that, is because there was the hope that maybe we would be able to go back again with a new board structural improvements committee with a proposal for an integrated stakeholder group where we have not divided civil society into these little ridiculous silos, which basically just creates artificial turf competition, or at least the narrative that there's turf competition, and divides our energies and wastes everybody's time in innumerable ways. And this is what we originally had asked for when the stakeholder group was being formed, and we had big negotiations with Roberto Gaetano and Ray Pizak and others who were on the board back then, and there was a very strong desire to break the influence of NCUC, because we were bad people, by establishing another constituency that would grow to be an alternative and more cooperative civil society force, sort of more consistent with ALAC, I guess. And also the whole agenda was to, of course, have a Trojan horse for the intellectual property constituency within the non-commercial space. So we asked for an integrated thing. We were told, no, you can't have it, but we did manage to get integrated voting for the counselors, which was a big deal. Instead of having wired council seats where each constituency would get X number of counselors, we agreed that it would all be elected all together. But we still had this dysfunctional model. So the hope that some people had was, let's revisit the issue and see if we can't wind down the constituencies and move to an integrated model. So that was one idea that has been out there and discussed by some of us for a long time and kind of dampened the enthusiasm for doubling down and saying, okay, no, we're sticking with the constituency model, we're stuck with NCUC forever, and we have to do this. Then on top of that, Wolfgang started trying to push me on this notion that we should restructure the whole ICANN system and integrate the elements of civil society from at large together with the NCSG people into a new kind of structure, which you'd have basically a civil society advisory committee. And I said, well, I think a lot of people wouldn't like that idea if we're giving up the ability to actually participate as a part of an SO in the policy process. And he said, okay, well, but we need to have some way to get over all this silo stuff and think in a more integrated way, because it's ridiculous that civil society is divided up into warring tribes. It's not like this in any other global governance arrangements that's out there, and it's completely crazy. And I agreed with that, and so we raised that in the last discussion with the between the NCSG and the board. And you may have remembered Ray Pizak's reply, which was, make a proposal. So that was up in the air. But then people said, hey, no, we got to revise the bylaws. We got to revise the bylaws. And I said, okay, fine. Look, it's we've never been able to get the conversation about the integrated stakeholder group going. I don't believe fundamental structural change is going to be possible. There's too much embedded sticky institutional stuff here. Nobody's willing to put the work into it, to fight the fight, to make that happen. So let's just go ahead and do it. So that's why we're doing it, Brendan, because periodically people pop up, Avery and others, on the list and say, hey, Bill, you're failing us all by not revising the bylaws in front of 400 people. So I'm like, okay, fine. So let's revise the bylaws. So we revise the bylaws. But it doesn't address the unresolved questions. It means that we stay with the structure we have. And the question then is how to make that work better for us. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill. Brendan, do you want to grab a hand up? Oh, that was an earlier name. Okay, so that's I guess, thanks, Bill, for that on the overarching issues. Unless you want to consider talking about the other segments as well, or perhaps at a later time when we've also had an opportunity to add on to that, I leave that to you. What would you like to do? Do you want to continue at least laying out the land for some of the other sections? Yes, that's a great question, Fuzzy. As somebody who is fairly new to this process, this is something that I would also like to find out if there is an answer. Amar, I don't know if you can hear me now, but I was wondering whether, I was asking Bill, in fact, if he would like to consider going through the other parts of the changes that he'd suggested, or do we leave it here at the first segment and then come back perhaps later once we've had an opportunity to go through the whole the list and other stuff that we would like to add.
And what I had suggested was that we let Terry go and complete the call on time in 3 minutes, and we can use the mail list for people to take a hard look at the bylaws, look at the list that I've started with, and then make suggestions of things to be added to that list. And we could even use... Everybody should have a Confluence account. We could put up a wiki document if you want, or a Google Doc, however you want to do it, and go from there.
That sounds good. So just to wrap up, I am going to start by sending out a mail to the NCUC Discuss, as well as copy the bylaws list, briefly summarizing. I know there will be a summary of the meeting that will go out after the meeting, but I'm just going to send out an email to the discussed list, summarizing what we've discussed in terms of our working methods and what we, at least in the within the bylaws list, hope to achieve sometime by the end of September to put on the table in Dublin, and perhaps, and then we can take the conversation forward on what we hope to achieve during Constituency Day and so on and so forth. But for now, at least on the segments that you've added. Plus, on, you know, I just want to bring up Fuzzy's question again on possible sources where we can, but this is something that we can discuss in the mailing list, on some sources that we can read up on to flag issues like the ones that you've done on this email bill. That sounds good. Anyone has any to that before we wind up? Fuzzy, we do have 90 minutes, but I suppose, I mean, this is something that, Terry's been a big help in terms of volunteering for this because it's a bank holiday in London, and we were not, I mean, till today morning, we were not supposed to do this until Terry thankfully volunteered for this. So thanks to her for this.
I think Terry's actually in the U.S., but still the point is, do we need 90 minutes? I was hoping we could make it 1 hour because we're just having an initial conversation. I mean, if you guys want to go through the list more in detail, we can, but I would personally think that what needs to happen now, I've already given you a place to start, is to please take a look at at the existing bylaws, take a look at the Google Doc that we did in 2012. I've shared the link. You'll see some comments from Avery and Milton and others from back then of things we were talking about. Think about things that you think might be sensible to consider and then add them into this list. Let's build out the list of where we're trying to go. We don't need to sit here on the phone with each other to do that.
Sounds good. Anybody else would like to add something to that before we wind up? Okay. Great. Thanks, everyone, for joining in. Hopefully, we will have more members from the bylaws list the next time. Maybe if we advertise for more volunteers from the general NCUC discuss list, we should hopefully, especially given the fact that there's no actual writing of the bylaws required before Dublin, which I'm sure might have been a deterring factor for several people going into this exercise, but now that we've, you know, figured out that this is what we want to do before Dublin, that sounds good. Okay, sounds good. I'm just going to email on this, but if there's nothing else that you guys would like to add, let us wind up this meeting.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, everyone. Bye, guys.
Nice talking, everyone.